Christmas is over, and it's time to purge the house of decorations. With January, there's the dreaded return to routine, ambitious detox programs, and plans to do more exercise. But for Eritrea and its global diaspora, the festivities are yet to begin. The small African nation's majority Christian Orthodox population follow the Ge'ez calendar, which dictates that Christmas will fall tomorrow, the 7th of January.
In the UK, notably London, Eritreans began arriving in the late 1980s during the independence struggle with Ethiopia. Yet despite a sizeable community numbering an estimated 20,000 people, Eritrean culture and customs, including when they celebrate Christmas, remain a mystery to much of the population. Monocle's Ed Stocker went to find out how the Eritrean community is beginning to make an impact.
A Dulles restaurant opened a few weeks ago in Clapham Junction, South London. It's an elegant space with exposed stone walls and dark wooden tables. Fortuna Semera is the restaurant's manager.
I don't think there's, many average Londoners would know much about Eritrea, or maybe they don't know anything about Eritrea, or they don't know, they've never heard the name or something.
She explains why she thinks the community has a low profile.
Maybe this is because we're a new nation. We've only been 20 years since our independence. This might be one... You know, the time that Eritreans have started coming here as well. I mean, Indians, Pakistanis, they've been here for ages, you know? So it's not like that. You cannot see an Eritrean grandparent who've been born here or raised here, even a father. So it's the time that we've been around as well contributes to that. But I think people are getting more aware now.
Certainly Semera has a point. As a fledgling nation, Africa's newest independent country until the creation of South Sudan last year, its branding still has a long way to go. But as soft power assets go, its cuisine is an excellent starting point. Semera brandishes a large round dish of food. It's covered with injera, a sponge-like flatbread served cold. On top of the bread, various colourful meat and vegetarian dishes are arranged in little clusters, almost tapas style. The concept is to tear off chunks of bread and scoop up the delicious offerings.
This sauce, what we call dorho tabhi, it takes quite a long time to kind of... It's like slowly cooked. Slowly cooked, it is... What can you call it? It's the most authentic dish, Eritrean dish. That's what you serve, basically, for a person who you really respect in Eritrean household.
So I'm respected, am I?
Of course you are.
As well as this impressive platter, my meal includes sampling the national drink, a sweet honey wine. And then there's the coffee. The green beans are roasted and presented to me before being taken away to be ground and then served in a clay pot. The coffee is accompanied by popcorn and burning frankincense, filling the air with fragrant smells. It's a multi-sensory experience. Huri Girmay, editor-in-chief of LM, an Eritrean lifestyle magazine aimed at the diaspora, believes the public can be won over through their stomachs.
I think, in fact, more than the magazine now, the best place to discover Eritrean culture are restaurants in London specifically. It's like when you walk into the restaurant, it's like going into a little version of Eritrea. And by sitting in that restaurant, you see a lot of interactions, you know, cultural interactions, especially when it comes to Eritreans coming to dine in the restaurant, the way people greet each other, the language, the music being played, the way people eat, and so on, you know. This is, I think, the most important role of branding Eritrea is being played by restaurants.
The Adulis restaurant is an interesting example. It's the first eatery in London to cater to an almost exclusively non-Eritrean clientele, a sign that the food is growing in stature. Perhaps soon it will be able to compete with French, Italian or Lebanese options on the high street. But food isn't the only force driving the Eritrean brand. In music circles, the Asmara All-Stars album has garnered rave reviews and helped people to rediscover the smoky sounds of Eri jazz.
كان لا حلنا يقدم
But negative perceptions remain. Eritrea has a dubious democracy record and regularly comes bottom of World Press Freedom Indexes. These problems in the motherland don't help UK perceptions, argues Girmay.
You see this current representation of Eritrea in the media, which is very recent, reduces Eritrea into a one-dimensional country. But Eritrea is much more than its democracy or the press freedom and so on. And my personal view aside, you know, we can sit here and then I can talk about how it's not justified or is and so on. But what I would rather concentrate on is we need to debunk this idea that Eritrea is one-dimensional. Eritrea is a multi-dimensional country.
Girmay and Semra cut two very different figures. Girmay has been in the UK for more time than he lived in Eritrea, and he says that he feels settled here. Although he struggles with the idea of return, his holidays back to Africa never quite live up to expectation. For Semra, however, going back to the Eritrean capital, Asmara, is a fundamental goal.
Well, that's my ultimate dream, is living in Eritrea. London is beautiful. London is like a metropolitan city. But I think for everybody, there's no place like home.
It's not hard to understand why some people feel homesick in London's huge metropolis. But in a city packed with well-established communities from all over the world, Eritreans are showing that they have the clout to compete. For Monocle, I'm Ed Stocker.
You're listening to The Globalist on Monocle 24. Back after this.